and they, recognizing their lot, it says, stood at a distance. They saw Christ, and you just don't go around and hang out with normal people if you have leprosy. And it says, verse 13, and they shouted, because they were standing quite a ways off from him. And I don't know how far, maybe, you know, from here to Bill, or maybe a little further off. And it says, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And you would want that. We've all been in places where we've needed and wanted healing, but especially if you're in a situation that was as awful as leprosy. And verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he told them, now go and show yourselves to the priests. I think there'd probably be an assumption that they'd gone that route before. You know, they probably tried everything. But he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Jesus blowing us off, but what do I have to lose? I'll go to the priest again. So they all turned around and walked around the corner, walked down the street on their way to the temple, or the synagogue, to talk to the priest. And while they were going, they were made clean. So here you are, your group of other lepers walking down the street, and probably complaining even about, you know, having to go this far, and they're going to just turn us away, and what's it? And all of a sudden, one of them looks over at Abraham and says, Abraham, your complexion's cleared up. You know, the guy happens to look down at his hand, and his fingers had fallen off, and now he's got new fingers. And just this incredible sight and scene. I don't know if anybody saw them. They didn't have hands back then. They saw each other. And they had to have been excessively thankful. But then verse 15 says, but one of them. 10 guys cured this incurable disease, and one of them, when he saw he had been healed, came back and praised God with a loud voice. Now you'd think you'd be excessively thankful about being healed of something like that, and he was. And he shouted and praised God, and then he fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And this man was a Samaritan. And you see the scene here, and just how odd it was that here's this one guy that came back, and it was just one out of 10. And Jesus asked that question in verse 17. 10 men were made clean, weren't they? Yeah, they'd walked around the corner, they were gone, but Jesus in his power knew what would happen. And yeah, 10 men were made clean. He said, that's right. And then he says, where are the other 9? And this is the question. Why weren't these guys thankful? What was the problem? Verse 18, he said, except for this foreigner, were any of them found to return and give praise to God? That is truly amazing, isn't it? That they didn't thank God. And then he told the man, get up and go home. Your faith has made you well. Now he is whole already. He was well already. And we can assume that he was talking here about his mental, emotional, and spiritual state in being thankful that he was really whole in addition to his body being whole. Why would anyone not thank God for such a healing? Got me to thinking, why weren't those 9 guys healed? Now, you saw in announcements, the title for this sermon is 9 Reasons People Are Ungrateful. Now, I don't know what was in these guys' minds, obviously. It doesn't say, but you get to thinking about why aren't people grateful when they really should be? And I came up with 9 reasons people are ungrateful. And so let's talk about those and make sure that we don't fall into one of these categories of the 9 who are ungrateful. But we are one of those who truly do come to God and to Jesus Christ and thank him, and to thank others for what they do, and be grateful people. So let's go into 9 reasons why people are ungrateful. And again, I'm hypothesizing here by personalizing these with these guys, but maybe 1 of the 9 did not come back and thank Jesus. Maybe he said, well, I was going to thank Jesus. And I was going to come back and thank him, but you know, I was so happy about, you know, being whole that I just forgot. Too busy showing everybody my new body. I just forgot. Sometimes we're unthankful because we forget. And that's 1. Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103. And verse 2, familiar scripture, I think. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now it goes down and lists those things, and it even, you know, specifically mentions some of the things that happen with us and the things that God gives to us. And it says, don't forget them. Well, at least one of these guys just forgot God's benefit of having been healed. Psalm chapter 106 and verse 13. And this is this whole chapter and many other places in the Bible talk about this situation. It says, but Israel quickly forgot what God had done and acted without waiting for his advice. They quickly forgot. I mean, look at the circumstances of Israel, and God had brought them out of slavery. He had saved their children. He certainly brought them up to the Red Sea, and when it looked as though they were going to be killed by Pharaoh's armies, he opened the sea and they walked through. And what happened almost moments after their deliverance, they started complaining. They forgot to thank God. You know, oh, thank you, God, that my firstborn wasn't killed. You know, you'd think that they would keep that in mind. Thank you, God, that you delivered us out of slavery. Thank you that we were delivered from death, and you're able to, it's a miracle, and passing through the sea. He says, no, but they forgot quickly. Verse 14, they were filled with craving in the desert and put God to the test. They were too interested in their own things than to think about God, to think about thankfulness. You know, sometimes we forget to thank people too, not just God. People do things for us, they pray for us, they give things to us, they just do basic things. But do we remember? You probably remember your mother saying, did you remember to thank Grandpa for that gift? Oh yeah, I forgot. Okay, and you teach your children to be thankful. Do we remember to thank God? Do we remember to thank people for what they do? Or do we just kind of forget? It is rather ungrateful when we forget, isn't it? Okay, what about the second guy? The first guy just forgot. What about guy 2 of the 9 that did not thank God? Maybe he said, well, if I go back and thank him, then maybe he'll think that I owe him something for doing that. And I don't want to bother with that. So I'll just sneak away. And that way, I won't be obligated to do anything for what he's done. So reason 2 is maybe we're afraid we'll be obligated to give something back if we're thankful for what we have been given. And quite honestly, we probably do owe something for what other people do for us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, we talked about this in the first of our discussions on creation. We talked about creation last time as being something that causes us to have a relationship with God. And that we see God as a creator, and when we understand God as a creator, recognize him as such and worship him as such, then that makes us subservient to the creator. It's like a child is due to be subservient to his parents because his parents brought him into the world. Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. You know, at least one of the nine, they knew he was Christ, you know, when they went up and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so they knew there was something special about him, but although they knew him as God, did not glorify him as God, neither were thankful. And so sometimes we don't realize that we owe something to the Creator. It says, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then Romans 1:28 says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And so the one guy, because he didn't want to be obligated to anything, I'll just forget about him. I'll just pretend he doesn't exist. I'll go on my merry way, being whole. To thank God for creation would obligate people to submit to the Creator. So they deny God. Any of you know who Paul Stanley is? He's what? Kiss guitarist. Okay, so some of you horrible people know who he is, but no. As I was looking up some quotes on thankfulness, it's interesting that here is a rock star, and he's looking at his lot in life, and he comes up with, I think, which is a pretty good statement. I'm sure he's made millions of dollars in what he's done. But he says, whenever anybody comes to me with a way that I can give something back, okay, he's got a lot, okay? Now he says, I've got a lot, now shouldn't I be giving something back? So whenever anybody comes to me in a way that I can give something back, it would be ungrateful at this point of my life not to say yes. You know, look at all I've been given. Can't I give something back for all that I've been given, for all that people have done for me, that fame has done for me, or whatever? The principle, I think, is good. We owe at minimum an appreciation to people. We owe them appreciation when they've done something for us, or to us, or with us. We owe homage to God. We owe obedience to God. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. This is probably one of the other kind of difficult scriptures to comprehend. It's a lot like this other one we've been talking about with the ungrateful people. Because here's one of the ungrateful people. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23 says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And so he got, okay, what does everybody owe me? And this is, okay, well, you pay up what you owe me. And he came to this one guy and said, pay what you owe me. And he says, I can't. And he said, okay, then you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. He said, no, please. In verse 27, the master of that servant was moved with compassion. The guy said, please, don't throw me in jail. This really, let me do something to pay off this debt. The guy said he had compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. And so, you know, if you, you know, owed $100,000 in debt, and somebody's going to throw you in jail because you couldn't pay it, and you said, please, let me off, well, you'd certainly be thankful if the guy said, okay, your debt is released, go and be happy. Verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And so you got forgiven $100,000 and somebody owed you $100, and you said, you pay me that $100. I mean, I want it, and I want it now. Wouldn't you think you're a little ungrateful for not passing it on, if you will, paying it forward, as they say? And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, Simpson-like, saying, pay me what you owe. Verse 29, and his fellow servant begged at his feet, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you. Verse 30, but he would not, and he went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So here he was forgiven a great debt, and certainly he was kind of thankful, but yet, wouldn't you think, though, that you would owe somebody else something, at least the kindness and generosity that you were given? This is the point of all this. And, you know, the guy came back and got in trouble for not paying it forward, if you will. In verse 33, he said, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And yeah. When you're given something, we owe it to love one another. We owe it to do things for other people. And it should feel like an obligation rather than, okay, well, this is a gift and I got good. At least I got it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 15. Says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. We should be in a continuous state of thanksgiving and appreciation for what God has done. And you go into verse 16, it says, but you be appreciative to God, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You recognize what God gives to you, and then have that same heart and the same mind and the attitude that Jesus Christ has and that God has for us. It is. It's an obligation. So if we're truly thankful to God for his forgiveness and for his mercy, we will do the same for others. For truly thankful for what we have, we'll be willing to share and to give to others as we have opportunity. Okay, what about guy number three? Guy number three, maybe his attitude was, well, that was easy. Cool, you know, I'm healed. I guess I should have just asked for this a long time ago. Man, the next time I see that guy, I'm going to ask him for money, you know. Get what's due to me. Sometimes people are not grateful because they don't do anything for what they get. You know, it's not that we have to earn anything that somebody gives to us. You can't earn salvation. That is a gift of God. But on the other hand, if it were just given to us and we had no obligation to, you know, do what God says or to follow his directions or ways. It was just handed to us. Oh, good. Okay. Kingdom. Here we go. Roll around on a cloud. Don't have to do anything. Dennis Prager, some of you listen to him on the radio, talk show guy. He says, as you get older and wiser, you realize that when people are given anything without having to earn it, they become ungrateful and lazy and also become less happy. Sometimes people do things for us, God does something for us, and we don't feel we have to do anything for it. And since we didn't do anything for it, kind of getting to expect more rather than be thankful for what we have. It's not that we have to earn everything we get, but when things come too easy, too often, sometimes we take it for granted. Okay, number four. Sometimes we're not thankful because we don't like the giver. Guy number four, he maybe said, oh man, he said, I wish it could have been healed some other way. I just don't like that Jesus. I'm with the Pharisees, you know, I just don't care for the guy. It was humiliating for me to have to ask him for it. And so I just don't want anything to do with him. I'm not going to thank him. I don't even like him. Sometimes people do things for us that we don't like. And we think, well, I don't have to be grateful to them because they're a nasty person, or they didn't treat me well at another time, or whatever. Matthew chapter 12, here's a attitude that was prevalent and still is prevalent, I think. Matthew 12 and verse 10. It says, "Behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him?" This was that typical Pharisaical attitude. You imagine if one of us had an issue, and sometimes we do have physical issues of one type or the other, but there's a guy in northern Arizona, and his hand's got that thing, you know, where they, I forget what they call it, but they tend to cripple up, and they contract. He had one operated on, it turned out all right, and his other one was contracting, and he was getting the other one operated on, and he went and did it, and literally he's got use of his hand now. And the whole congregation there was, "Wow, that is really cool. You know, really, that's really nice. You got use of your hand." Everybody was just happy. Because his hand had use in it now. So here's a guy with a crippled hand, and here's a bunch of guys watching this. In chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored whole as the other." And so are these guys standing around, and you think to say, "Wow, that is great. Joe, you got your hand back. You haven't been able to use that thing, and you've had to be a lefty all your life, and now, you know, here it is. It is great." No. It says, verse 14, "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him." They were not in the slightest thankful that this person had been healed, because they didn't like Jesus. So there's ingratitude because they didn't care for the giver. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, it tells us what our attitude should be. Sometimes maybe we've got a boss that hasn't been kind to us, but yet does something that, you know, gives us a raise, even though he talked behind our back another time or whatever. And Romans 12 verse 14 gives us a frame of mind that we need to have in a lot of ways, but using this specifically in relation to being thankful. Romans 12 verse 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Would that not go along with saying thank you, whoever it might be? Verse 16, "Live in harmony with one another." Verse 17, "Don't repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody." You know, sometimes the person gives something to us and they didn't even mean to, but we should be thankful. A philosopher and writer, I just looked him up this morning, so I know who he is. I don't think I've read anything of his before. Khalil Gibran, anybody know him? Okay, you can Google him. But anyway, he died in 1939 or something. But this is an interesting statement. He said, "I have learned silence from the talkative." In other words, you've been around people sometime and they talk and talk and talk, never get in a word edgewise, and you think, okay, well, I don't want to do that to somebody else. And you learn something from the talkative. Somebody talks too much. He said, "I've learned toleration from the intolerant." You look at people who are intolerant of your religious beliefs or whatever, and you say, okay, I want to be tolerant of those people and not treat them like I was treated. And you've learned tolerance from the intolerant, right? And he said, "I've learned kindness from the unkind." When somebody is mean to you, you say, "I don't want to be mean to somebody else." And so you think about the way you come across, and you're a better person for it. And so you've learned from the talkative, from the intolerant, from the unkind. And he continues his statement here. He says, I've learned silence from the talkative, toleration from the intolerant, kindness from the unkind, yet, strange, I'm ungrateful to those teachers. You can see why. I mean, well, they were very unkind. But you learn something from it. Well, can we be grateful to somebody even though we don't like them? Even though they were mean to us, but we learned a spiritual lesson from it? I think we can be thankful even if we don't like the giver. Okay, let's take a break here. We'll get a song. We'll get special music. All right, we just finished with guy number four that didn't like the giver, so he wasn't thankful. Guy number five, maybe it just wasn't as good or as much as he expected. Maybe guy number five, he said, sure, he took away my leprosy, but I still got this gout. Oh, man, hard time walking around. Why couldn't he have taken my gout away too? Not as much as they expected. Israel, God gave them a meal free every day. He gave them manna. They didn't have to go shopping. They didn't have to cut coupons. They didn't have to, you know, they had to prepare because it was done in different ways, apparently. But provided for them every day, and they wanted more. And they were not thankful for what God had provided. Sometimes it's because of greed. Greed is a sin that causes us to be unthankful. Well, I wanted more. I wanted it better. I wanted it different. Instead of being thankful for what God has blessed us with. We think about the things we don't have rather than the things that God has given to us. He only gave me $100 and I wanted $300. Oh, why would I thank him? He didn't give me what I wanted. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 gives us an instruction that it does have to do with our gratitude. Hebrews 13, 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetous is you wanting something somebody else has, wanting more. Be content with such things as you have. We can always want more. He said, be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He won't try you beyond what you can endure. I mean, he's given us a lot of things. But sometimes we want it better. We want more of it. You know, I could want more. I could want a 2015 Corvette, and that would be so cool to drive. That would be so fun. I'd even get fairly good gas mileage, I guess. But you know what? I'm really thankful for the 2003 Honda Civic with 200,000 miles on it that I have, because it's been about the most economic vehicle I could possibly have. It's cost me practically nothing over the last 15 years, 13, however many years that I've owned it. And I'm thankful for it. I'll get another car eventually, and it's not the only car I've got, but I think it's a good thing as you look at what you've got. Frankly, a 2003 Civic isn't even very sexy. But then again, neither am I, so. But sometimes we're just not thankful for what we've got. And guy number six, maybe he was just too wrapped up in himself. There's a specific example of that in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and this could sum up our guy number six. He's too wrapped up in himself. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 24. Today's English version says, about this time King Hezekiah became sick and almost died. He too was sick, like lepers, right? And he prayed, and the Lord gave him a sign that he would recover. And notice this attitude. Verse 25, but Hezekiah was too proud to show gratitude for what the Lord had done for him. And Judah and Jerusalem suffered for it. God is never happy when we fail to show gratitude, especially for the things that he does as the creator and the giver of all things. So don't get so proud and wrapped up in yourself that you don't even show God gratitude for what he does and others gratitude for what they do. Okay, and then guy number seven. Maybe it just never crossed his mind to thank Christ for what he did, for what God had done, because he didn't know any better. In other words, poor parenting. This poor guy grew up and his parents never told him to be thankful or expected him to be thankful. And so he just had everything given to him and never crossed his mind. Most of you have heard of Zig Ziglar, right? Motivational speaker. Interesting guy. I've seen him live, and a little over the top for me in some ways, but yet he's quite a guy. And he died just a few years ago, as I recall, in a bicycle accident in the Salt Lake City area. But a friend of Zig Ziglar, a guy that worked for him, was talking with another friend of Zig's, and he wrote this article, and this is actually in on the internet and belief.com in one of the stories on that website. So this friend was talking about Zig Ziglar's positive outlook, and he said, what about Zig's positive outlook? And the one guy says, it's completely genuine. I've never seen him down. Hardly what you'd call normal, you know, to never be down, to always be up. And this author says, so what is Zig's secret? And the other guy says, I think it comes down to feeling grateful. Never met a guy more grateful than Zig, period. And this author goes on to talk about Zig Ziglar, and he says, you would think that anyone that grateful must have had an easy life. Well, of course he's got a lot to be thankful for. Of course he's going to be thankful. He said, no, it's not so. Said Zig started out poor, dirt poor. His father died when he was six, leaving his mother to raise 11 children alone. Now, I found it difficult enough with a wife to raise two kids, but anyway, so my daughter got on me Thanksgiving for talking about her during church, but be thankful I love you, dear. Anyway, so leaving his mother to raise 11 children alone, the family was virtually penniless. You think about that. You got a single mom raising 11 kids, and you're a kid, 6 years old. Despite their poverty, Mrs. Ziglar instilled a strong work ethic in her children and raised them to believe that both she and God loved them. She also instructed her children to practice saying please and thank you. Those lessons stuck. Her formula of work, love, and faith made their difficult lives easier, and gratitude made their lives enjoyable. Because what little they had, they were thankful for the things they had. And okay, that's cool. And Zig's got this positive, or had this positive attitude in spite of the things he grew up, and actually because of it, because of the way he was taught. This author goes on to say, once Zig told me, when we neglect to require our children to say thank you when someone gives them a gift or does something for them, we raise ungrateful children who are highly unlikely to be content. Without gratitude, happiness is rare. With gratitude, the odds for happiness go up dramatically. This author says years ago, Zig created the popular phrase, have an attitude of gratitude. And I don't know if he's the one that coined that phrase or not, but you've all heard that. It's fairly common now. According to Zig, the more you recognize and express gratitude for the things you have, the more things you will have to express gratitude for as you're looking for them. I read this at Thanksgiving, or quoted it at Thanksgiving this year, and I think I mentioned it here too, but this little saying that somebody gave me says, what if you woke up today with only what you thanked God for yesterday? Okay, so we thank God yesterday for what? And then we only had what we thanked God for. We'd be pretty barren, wouldn't we? Sometimes we need to overcome the sins of our fathers, as that series talked about. And if you weren't taught to be thankful, then you need to learn to be thankful and overcome the sins of your parents if they didn't teach you to be thankful. A couple of years ago, I took Blake to a restaurant after services here, and I think Marlia was with me, but anyway, Blake and I had finished our meal, and it was time to leave, so we got up and Blake ran off. Blake, what's the matter with you, boy? Get over here. Well, he was running over to the waiter to tell him thank you for waiting on us. I go, okay, sorry I blew up at you, kid. You know, but that was really neat. I appreciated that he'd make a special trip over to the waiter to say thank you for waiting on us. His dad was a waiter at one time, so I think his father has instilled that in him. Another guy, maybe he didn't go back and thank God, number 8. Maybe he says, I don't really deserve this. You know I asked for it, but I didn't really expect to get anything. Why would God give me anything? I'm whole, why don't you just leave me alone? You know, many people are unthankful because they look down on themselves and don't think they deserve anything. Now, I hope you don't pray for what you deserve. I always pray that I don't get what I deserve. But on the other hand, when God does something for us, when others do something for us, if we have such a low self-esteem that we're not grateful and can't accept that which has been given to us, you know, you all don't deserve salvation, but God is going to give you that gift, all things considered. And we better accept it. We better accept the forgiveness that God gives to us through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and be thankful for that rather than saying, no, I'm not good enough. No, we're not good enough in a sense, but we shouldn't keep that from causing us to be grateful. Instead of being grateful for an opportunity, instead of being grateful for a blessing, instead of being grateful for a gift, instead of being grateful that trust is extended, people get uncomfortable with the blessing given to them. So we need to learn to accept gifts, compliments, blessings graciously, not be proud about it, but on the other hand, accept that which God and others give to us. Number 9, the last guy, maybe it's just that he failed to see the positive in the trial or the positive in the blessing. He just failed to see it. Maybe this number 9 says, you know, I had it rough growing up, what with that leprosy and all, and life has just handed me a bad deck. You know, why should I thank God for something I never should have had in the first place? Here, I was a leper for a good part of my life, and now I'm supposed to thank him because he took it away? Failing to see the positive in the fact that he was healed. He said, and now, you know, I'm not even going to be able to go back to the leper colony because I don't have leprosy. You know, I won't be able to go back and be with the people I've been with. Looking at the downside of everything instead of looking at the positive sides of things. Acts chapter 16:25, we won't turn over there, but here Paul and Silas, they were doing the work of God and they were thrown in prison. And I'm sure that was no picnic when you're thrown in one of those dark, dank prisons. And what were they doing there? It says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. So here they were in a trial, and they were singing praises to God. They were thanking God for the other things that God had delivered them from and what he was doing with them. So instead of complaining, he sang songs of thanks and praise. I think this is where James 1 verse 2 comes in when it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Even in a trial, blessings come from those things. And sometimes things don't come to us unless we do go through a trial, which hones us and which makes us better. It's kind of like that Khalil quote that I gave, that bad things have happened, I've learned from them, but not be grateful for them. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I want to show a, can we turn on the projector here? I want to show a brief video. It's a lady, and her name is Alice Hertz Sommer. Anybody ever heard of her? She was the oldest living concentration camp survivor. She died a year ago, February of 2014, at age 110. And you just go jot this down. Look it up on YouTube. Alice Hertz, H-E-R-Z, Sommer. And I'm going to show one of her clips with some interviews that she had with Tony Robbins and some others. And she was just a very inspirational person. But she was raised in Poland and went through all that displacement when the Germans came in and were killing the Jews. She was put in one of the concentration camps with her son. She was able to survive because she played the piano. She was a professional pianist. And she, in some of the interviews, you see that when she was 108 there, she was playing the piano 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. And she talks about music. You'd really appreciate some of her discussion regarding the music and how it is positive. But she talks about, in some of these interviews, sleeping on the hard, cold floor with her son in the concentration camp, and people were dying all around her and starving and that type of thing. And I think you'll get some inspiration out of her overall attitude. So here's just a 5-minute clip of one of the interviews that it had with Alice Hertz Sommer. She's got a lot more these fairly lengthy interviews, but she always talks about being optimistic, looking on the positive side, being thankful. One of the other interviews, she talks a lot more about being thankful and for all the things, you know. And when she and her son were in the concentration camp, she says, we're always laughing, and she talks about being in a home with other older people. She says, I'm the only one that laughs around here, but laughing is, have a good attitude. It really does make a difference. On a website called thedailygood.org, there was an article about attitudes and thankfulness. I want to read a little bit of this. It says, negative attitudes are bad for you. And gratitude, it turns out, makes you happier and healthier. If you invest in a way of seeing the world that is mean and frustrated, you're going to get a world that is, well, more mean and frustrating. But if you can find any authentic reason to give thanks, anything that's going right in the world in your life, and put your attention there, statistics say you're going to be better off. Now, it worked for this gal that died at 110, and then she had a very positive life, even in the midst of all kinds of negative. It says, recent studies have concluded that the expression of gratitude can have a profound and positive effect on your health and your mood and even survival of our marriages. The attitude of gratitude, being thankful for the good things that we do have, can have an overall good effect on even our physical lives. It says, there's an old saying that if you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you'll never be on speaking terms with happiness. Turns out this isn't just a fluffy idea. And it goes in this article goes into several studies that were done and scientific background for this, but here's a summary. It says, several studies have shown depression to be inversely correlated to gratitude. It seems the more grateful a person is, the less depressed they are. Sure, this world gives us plenty of reasons to despair, but when we get off the fast track to morbidity and cultivate instead an attitude of gratitude, things don't just look better, they actually get better. Thankfulness feels good. It's good for you. It's a blessing to the people around you, too. It's a win-win situation, and I'd say we have cause for gratitude. That's what God says, and doing things God's way works, as we find out. So 10 men were healed of this horrid disease called leprosy. 9 were ungrateful for what God had done for them. Number 10 came and praised God aloud, fell down and praised Jesus for his part in that healing. Which one are you?